One thing that I learned in secondary school is how to be a hustler.
I think I have wicked tendencies, but I'm not wicked.
You're always saying bad energy stay far away, but
bad energy stay far away, but you're the bad energy.
I dare you to lick in Kechi's pants.
You guys don't know I have brain. I have brain.
I got a friend now. First of all, nobody asked. Second of all, your outfit is actually trash and we don't care.
The only time I'm on my knees is, well, that's classified.
Chidera, this is a family channel.
I hope my mother isn't listening to this podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Care Package Podcast, episode 73. I know you guys have listeners, but don't worry, we're here. We know, we've heard your cries, we've heard your pleas.
We're back.
Okay, so this episode, we're kind of going to talk about something we kind of touched on last episode. So if you guys remember, me and Anu both actively participated in the Telfar Rainbow Day promotion. However, lots of people were enthusiastic. Some people were in the queue for 40 minutes, others in the queue for 5.
Me! I was that guy, I was in the queue. Oh, and what makes it crazy, you guys, is that Telfar drop. The thing is, they said it was dropping at 12 p.m. Eastern time. Me, I have an international podcast co-host. So I know that 12 p.m. Eastern time is 5 p.m. UK time. I know this. But all the girlies on Twitter and TikTok were saying that it was 6 p.m. Maybe that was their plan. So that you will not get there with time. So they can get on the bags, maybe. But I was not thinking, okay, it's not possible that everybody is wrong and I'm right. So maybe I'm the one that is wrong. So I was like, okay, at 5 p.m. I'll go on to check. It probably won't be there, but like, let me just make sure, right? And I needed to run some errands because I was literally traveling the next day. I needed to run some errands. Like, okay, let me just quickly do my errands. 5 p.m. I'll check. I'm sure there'll be nothing there. 6 p.m. I'll be back home so I can sit down and focus. 5 p.m. alarm went off now. And I just switched it off. I was like, no. There's nothing. I tell my mom, I say, okay, and then let's just check. Lo and behold, Sarah stood in. In my basket. And I was on the queue for 40 minutes. But what I would actually big up Telfar, because when I got there 10 minutes late, I thought, yeah, Kalai, I knew absolutely nothing for you. But like, there were actually still like a lot of things. Like,
yeah.
They actually like, the stock was heavy. It was heavy.
The stock was booming.
And the website didn't crash, which is really impressive. But yeah, guys, always follow your instinct. Don't follow people on the internet. They are bad.
Yeah, people on the internet are bad.
That's how I'd have missed the drop.
I remember when I was trying to get a Cortez hoodie. Because basically, if you don't know how Cortez works, the guy just comes one day and is like, this is just going to be on the website. I'm releasing the password at 7 p.m. UK time. So he never releases it at 7. It's like usually like 7:10. So everybody's always on Twitter. And the thing is while stocks last, and that guy can have two or something. So what people do is like, as people are asking for the password, random ops are just saying random things. Because if you try the password 4 times, it locks you out.
Really? So people are saying, okay, guys, I got you. The password is you. That guy used one of your tries.
But yeah, people are up. But yeah, we're just going to speak about the luxury industry, because the luxury industry has changed from what it used to be. It's way more, I think for some people, it's way more accessible. Like, it's not only limited to the 1% anymore. Like, you no longer have to go to Beverly Hills to buy that bag you want. So I think, yeah, like, I think it's cool how it's available nowadays. I mean, when you have sites like The Real Real, Poshmark, there's another one. I can't even fucking remember. But what's up?
I was just going to say the secondhand industry and the renting clothes industry. I feel like that's something else that we need to touch on in this episode.
Yeah. The renting clothes, that one's a bit. Okay. So I'm here for the luxury industry, like buying secondhand, like bags and shoes, not clothes. Mm-hmm. I think clothes is a lot. Like, also, like, no offense to anybody. I think owning a Louis Vuitton shirt, that's your prerogative. But, like, it's not, like, that's not really luxury. Like, you can buy a Louis Vuitton shirt in, what's that place? Yaba. Like,
you see, Louis Vuitton is not really luxury.
It's not really, not luxury. Like, having a shirt, you know? Like, I think it is.
If I see my friend wearing an LV shirt, I'm gonna be like, Papingo Dabalaya, big guy.
But if you see your friend carrying a Birkin bag, when I'm like, Papingo Dabalaya. Exactly, you see what I mean? But yeah, speaking on the real, I've actually used the real twice. I bought a bag.
Our viewers that don't know what the real is, can you let us know what the
real is? Oh, yeah. So the real is a luxury consignment store. So basically, like, people sell their luxury goods. I mean, lots of, like, people do it. So I know Jackie Anna is a really big person that puts loads of her bags on real. Like, there are loads of people because, you know, some things don't hold value and some things you only get to wear once. So a lot of people put their stuff to be sold on the real. And when you sell something to the real, you get commission from selling it to the real. And then they sell it to someone, basically. But, yeah, so the real is like that. I bought a bag and I think I bought shoes. Yeah. I bought a bag and I bought shoes. They weren't really like your high luxury. Well, the shoes were, but they weren't sale. But
yeah, that's what they were now.
Anyways, I'm not gonna Anyways, I'm shy, guy. Do you know who's listening? Do you know what ups I have that just writing going to report to the IRS? Anyways.
Don't kill me. I think personally when it comes to secondhand, buying luxury items secondhand, I don't have a problem with it. I think it's a good idea. It's also, yeah, it just makes luxury more accessible. Yeah. My only thing is my first luxury item that I own, I want it to be like mine.
And who said you want to tear the plastic off the bag?
No, dead ass. I think it's a lot of people are like, oh, for their first piece, like they don't mind getting something secondhand. And for me, it's like for my third piece, I don't mind it being secondhand. But for my first piece, I just want that experience of going into the store. Though, you know, in all the stores, they treat you well. Well, they treat you well once they see that you can pay.
Once they see you can pay. What?
Well, going into the store, you know, picking out a few items and leaving with the bag, you know. So, yeah. And then in terms of renting, it depends on who you are and what you're using it for. So, like, everyday man, like, if I'm just going for a motive tonight, then...
Why are you renting a Moschino shirt?
Well, you guys, why I'm renting a Moschino shirt. But I think it's a really good idea for, like, occasions. So, like, 25th birthday, you want to wear something, you know, really out there. Something for the runway. Especially if you know that. Because a lot of birthday dresses... Guys, if I tell you the amount of old poly dresses I have in my wardrobe that I'm never going to wear again. Once you wear those dresses, once you wear them once, you probably don't wear them again. So, I understand, like, all those occasion dresses. Like, I understand why people, like, rent it once. Yeah. Send it back.
I mean,
and as well, if you're for celebrities and people like that, like, because there's so much pressure on them to always be wearing nice things.
The pressure.
Rent it, Jare. do you get the pressure? Rent it, send it back. Yeah. One thing I'm not here for, Sha, is those that will be renting and they will now be the loudest about all the money they have. I'm just like, okay, so why don't you buy the clothes if you're bad? But to be fair, I also know that with renting and the secondhand industry and all of that, it's also about sustainability and, you know, being green. So
I think that's a big part of it. And with renting, there's loads of, like, I don't know if they're in England, but then there are loads of, like, renting things here. So there's one thing called Rockbox where you can rent, like, expensive ass jewelry. No, actually, sorry, that's a lie. Rockbox is a subscription. So every month you get, like, maybe Chanel earrings or Hermes necklace, and then every month you get a new thing and you just send the rest back. Or if you want to keep it, you pay for it, which I think is pretty cool. There's also a bag one. They get a new bag every month. Like, those things are pretty cool. Like, and also, like Anu said, like, if you're doing something special, like, you know, you're going to a wedding, you want to wear a nice dress, like, do that. But no, you're going to a motive and you want to rent Gucci shirts, and then you're waking up in the morning and there's Fanta all over the shirt. And
I was about to say, like, when let that shirt take a little tear.
But yeah, I think luxury is way more accessible. However, there's still some brands out here that'll be like, nope, we're for the 1% and the 1% only. And I think you all know the brand I'm about to talk about. The Orange Box. The MS of So, I'm sure we've all seen Birkins have been popping off left, right, front, and center. But what you don't know is half of those people, those things are secondhand, because to get a Birkin is like getting a visa. Let me explain to you guys the Birkin buying process. You walk into Hermes, you can't just walk in and say, hi, I want to buy a Birkin. No, that's not how it works. I know you might have the funds, and some people are like, well, why don't they want to sell it to me? This is it. It's exclusive. They don't have to sell it to you. Like, and after, so basically how you buy a Birkin is, I've done my research, guys. I'm planning to buy one like next like 5 years. Give me opportunity.
Okay, you guys will mark the date to 18th of October 2027. Let's check on that Twitter as both are Birkin.
Anyways, but so how it works is like you have to buy loads of things to be able to be considered for a Birkin. And you have to have a really good relationship with your sales assistants to be able to like even be offered one. So 9 times out of 10, let's say me and Anu walk into the Birkin, the Hermes store, and Anu is like, I want a black Birkin 25 or whatever. Also, there are different sizes. I didn't know that up until recently. The biggest size is like 30 something, like a
normal. But to be fair, I knew there were bigger sizes, but I didn't know there were bigger sizes like 4 or 5. I thought it was just like big or small.
No.
Yeah.
And then let's say Anu comes in, she's like, I want to buy a Anu's bought like, you know, 3K's worth of MS goods in her whole life. She's bought blankets, she's bought shoes, she's bought
everything. Amen. But when can I buy blankets? You know, yeah, some honestly at some point we need to talk about some of these luxury items that they don't make. Like, I want blankets here from Ebano. The warmest blanket ever. Why should I not? Anyway, please continue, sister.
Shout out, Ebano. Anyways, yeah, so she goes in and she's like, I want to buy a bag, a black Birkin 25 with gold hardware. And this essay can be like, I have something for you. Like, I have something I want you to look at. And it can be a pink bag with silver hardware. And if Anu says no to that bag, God knows the next time she's going to be offered one. So 9 times out of 10, you don't get the bag yet.
I heard that they just offer you any bag.
They just offer you any bag. So let's say you wanted the biggest one. They can be like, well, I have the smallest one in orange.
Orange of all colors, imagine.
But yeah, like that's how it works. I think if you're like a celebrity, like if you have status and you've bought a Birkin before, I think it's easier and you get to choose, because there's some people that actually got to design their own Birkin. So they got to pick the leather, the hardware, the this, the that, the that. But like 9 times out of 10, you don't get to pick the bag you want. You are offered a bag. And if you say no, God knows the next time you're going to be offered.
Mm.
Because there was a lady, and people may think that if you go to Paris, because in America it's really, really hard to get one. They don't offer anybody and their dad. Some people go to Hawaii, they have better luck. I was following this TikToker. She didn't get one in America, but she got one in Hawaii. But then she went to Paris, and I don't know what thought process was going through her head. Because Paris, you even need to have an appointment to be considered for leather goods. So you haven't even secured the bag. You have to have an appointment to be considered. Anyways, and she couldn't get an appointment, so she just wasted her whole 5 days in Paris trying to get a Birkin. She went to the store every day. She even bought, first day she bought something for her kid. Next day she bought a bracelet. She just kept trying to buy things to be considered, but they were like, nope, peace out. But yeah, I think some of those brands are still just for the 1%. But the way Birkins are popping up lately, I'm like, who's getting offered this? Who's getting offered that? I found out the Real, they sell Birkins. But there's a bit of controversy because the Real bags apparently weren't being authenticated. So
guys are back buying Birkins at price. Anyway, imagine like spending like 10k on what you think is a Birkin and it's not a Birkin.
And it's fake. Guy, I'll kill somebody.
Somebody go here when but this is another issue with these secondhand stores, because the thing is, they claim to authenticate them, and I know a lot of them do, but like, how do you ensure that they're being, how do you ensure that it's a real one?
I mean, there's this company, guys, I've looked, like, this is one of my favorite things to talk about. There's this company called Entropy, and they actually send you a device, and they have people like in their company, I guess, that helps like authenticate the bag with the company and check the serial number and all of that. So that's the only one I trust. If it's not authenticated by Entropy, don't buy your bag. If they say authenticated by our like team, you can't trust. Because there's a girl that got a YSL from the Real Real. It had a defect on it. She went to YSL, the actual store, and they were like, this bag isn't real, babes. Like,
now those authenticators, they try it, because I've seen some very believable fakes.
And some that's the next topic we're going to talk about. Fakes. Some of your favorite celebrities are carrying what? Fakes. But yeah, so the dupe industry has become something else. And I think it's also because of like, I don't know. I feel like to get a dupe, you either had to go to the place, so you had to go to China or Dubai or wherever the warehouse was, because they'd be selling dupes there and you could get like a really, really good price dupe. However, with things like DHgate and AliExpress, we've cut out the middleman. There's no need for me to fly to China to buy a fake bag. Like, you just need to search, see the reviews, and what? You're Gucci. But yeah, the dupe industry has come up a lot because, like Anu said, for this incessant pressure and need to fit in, everyone feels they have to have this or they have to have that. Like, so, you know, people just go to dupes. And like Anu said, there's some one-to-one dupes out here that if you're not paying attention, you wouldn't be able to tell. Like, it's getting really, really hard to tell, especially if you pay like, you don't pay the same retail price, but you pay like next to like maybe half of the retail price, you can get a really, really good dupe. The issue with dupes is if you're carrying a dupe, don't lodge it. Like, do not. Because there have been stories of people trying their luck, you know, walking into the Dior store with a fake Dior bag. And you know, in America, you can get away with that shit. In Paris, they can arrest you. Let me let you know now.
I was listening to I Said What I Said the other day, and one babe was like, oh, her boyfriend bought her, I can't remember the brand, so I'm just gonna say, I don't know, Louis Vuitton. I can't remember what brand it was, but let's say it was Louis Vuitton. Boyfriend bought her a Louis Vuitton bag that she thought it was real. She thought it was real. So I think the buckle broke, and she was like, let me even carry it to the store and ask them how far. She carried her bag to the store and said, sorry, ma'am. This was in Selfridges. It was in London, sure. Sorry, ma'am. This bag is actually a fake. Where did you get it from? Ha! and she's probably been telling all her friends, see, my boyfriend got me.
Men? Guys, the amount of times people have come into the store with fake AirPods that their boyfriends bought them.
No. See, anyway, my thing with dupes is that I'm in two minds about dupes. I'm very conflicted because on one hand, a part of me, I feel like I have a very strong moral compass, and a part of me feels like it's dishonest because like if you can't afford something, like just free, yeah, right? But then on the other hand, I'm just like, first of all, I might genuinely just like the style of something, but I can't afford the original.
Yeah.
So for that, like, if I buy a cheeky dupe, like,
I shouldn't
be prosecuted for that.
I think, yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think it's dishonest. And I also think, I think it's dishonest. And I think you're a cocky little shit when you go into the store and with like, your fake bag.
If you go into the store, then I can't like,
I entered the store with a fake bag and they didn't know. No, they know. They're talking about you. If they compliment you on your bag, they know it's a fake, babes. Like, if you walk into a store with a fake bag and they compliment you, they know it's a fake. But I'm also kind of like you said, if it's in a style or like, but I think it also depends on what you're duping. Like, if you're buying a dupe of like, let's say there's this YSL clutch or something. I don't mean like YSL is like lower end luxury. Like, fine. A Marc Jacobs bag you saw that they didn't make anymore. Live your best life. Mm. Why are you out here trying to buy dupes of 5K bags? Like, no one's going to know the difference. You but see, my
honestly, at that point, you should just cut your clothes according to your size that you can't afford it. But like, on the other hand, I'm just like, I don't know, Sha. I kind of, I don't know. I'm very like conflicted about dupes because I'm just like, like if it's fake, okay, like next.
I guess, but like my thing is, just don't be a cocky little shit about it. Like if you don't have a bag, don't be posting.
Just be quiet.
Yeah, just shut up.
Quiet.
Because then you're drawing attention to it. Mm. But yeah, like Anu said, that girl that went, they were like, where did you get it from? In Paris, they will take it off you. They will carry that bag off you. My mom was telling me one day she was flying through Charles de Gaulle, the worst airport in this world.
And I heard little... that Charles de Gaulle is so...
No, there's nothing to eat. If you're not a smoker, you're not buying bags. There's nothing to eat.
Why you're laughing because you know it's description.
Yeah, but like my mom said she was in the airport and then there was this lady, she was at TSA, well, the equivalent of TSA, whatever the fuck it's called, and she had a fake bag. And then next thing, at the end of the TSA line, she saw the girl carrying her bag, her belongings in a Ziploc bag because they took it off her.
So TSA, oh, it's Paris. They don't play.
Say in TSA Paris. Accent.
TSA.
But yeah, like
TSA.
Also, my own thing is like, if the bag is 5,000 and the dupe is 3,500.
Yeah, I can't like just save up.
Just save up. You're nearly there. 1,500 remaining.
Just save up. And yeah. I also feel like I don't know personally, but the people, don't you feel better when you're carrying the real version than the fake version? Because when you're carrying the real version, like, you can carry your bag with pride. You don't have to be worried about whether people around you can tell if it's fake. Like,
yeah, just because you said that, I just thought of, there's a girl on TikTok that, like, she sells, like, you know those people that sell, like, cubic zirconia jewelry, like, fake diamonds, basically. Like, mm-hmm. It looks like diamonds, but it's not actually a diamond, but those fat-ass rings. Mm-hmm. And then one of her, like, comments was, like, so what happened if one of those diamond tester boys come near me?
She
was
like, hey, you must have cried.
And I was like, see, that's the thing. When you buy fake, you're in fear. You can't confidently back your budget. And the other thing is, like, dupes aren't made well sometimes. So, like, yes, you're carrying a Birkin, but your Birkin smells of acetone because it came straight from the factory. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't smell like leather goods. But yeah, guys, my advice is do whatever you want. Whatever the wind drives you, do. But if you're buying a dupe, shut up. Don't be like...
That's the moral of the story. If you want to buy a dupe, by all means, but don't be moving like a big boy. Because
also, like, you'll be up, like, if you're still in uni, why are you buying a Louis Vuitton bag?
Let's actually talk about it. Because the pressure to have drip in quotes in uni, like, it doesn't make any sense. And I feel like the drip industry, a lot of it is being powered by young boys and girls. Because 18, 19, 20, 21, if you don't have, let's even start with your basic Canada Goose. We don't have Canada Goose. We don't have Moncler. If it's not Moncler, it's Trapstar. If it's not Trapstar, it's Supreme. And I'm just like, those are even like, you know, baby, not baby designer, but you know what I mean? These are like,
but like luxury streetwear kind
then, of thing. And the thing is, all these things, like, people are carrying Ted Baker and Marc Jacobs bags as uni bags. Tote bags as uni bags. Those are even still baby design. It's just about whatever comes, like the Hermes sandals now, whatever comes into style, like everybody just feels like they need to get on it. But when Balenciaga shoes were in style, the sock shoe and the big destructor stomper, when those two shoes were in style, everybody was going crazy because they wanted to buy those. So the day that Louis Vuitton bags come in style now, what will you guys do? Will you go and kill yourselves because you want to carry fake Louis Vuitton?
I think it's also like, stop, like, I think it goes back to that saying that parents always say, cut your
coats according to your code.
Because if the way you are living in uni and the things you are carrying are not matching, we're going to assume you're buying fake. Let me tell you that now.
Because I just wear my Nike shoe.
Thank you. I wear my Nike shoes and
Aldo bag. Like, let me just
Aldo, like me, the luxury I'm ready to die on a hill for is Coach. Coach made a comeback and I'm so fucking here for it.
Yeah,
no, I'm so fucking here for it. Coach. But anyway, yeah. If you're eating Indomie every day, but every time you go out, you're wearing Christian Dior glasses, babes.
We know you're and the thing is, another thing is that it goes back to social media because TikTok, as much as I love TikTok, TikTok is also quite dangerous because the amount of content you expose, people are doing get ready with me's and there's at least one or two designer items in there. And those are your age mates. So you'll be saying, God, I beg, I don't want to be a character. I want to be a baller. You'll be saying it until you're like, okay, I need to do something about this. And then you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing.
Also, like, if you're not ready to pay a designer price, go to the fucking outlets, bro. That's why we have
another thing. Go to the outlets. But I think another thing is that one of the reasons why people have problems with outlets, it just shows that you don't actually like the design of this thing that you're buying. You just want to be among. Because a lot of people don't want to buy the outlets. They don't want to go to the outlets because usually the outlets drop things after. So like it's like, okay, the hype has kind of died down. So it's people who genuinely like the style of the thing that they want to buy that goes to outlets.
Yeah.
People who are just doing it for trend, they don't want to go to the outlets. And I'm just like, okay, deep that and think about, do I actually like the style of this? Do I actually like this thing? Or am I just buying because everybody's wearing it?
Outlets in England are okay. The outlets in America, Woodbury Commons, go there. That's all I'm going to say. Go there. But yeah, like Anu said, the issue with outlets is they usually have like past season stuff. So if it's fall, they have summer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it also depends on the outlet you go to. Because I went to an outlet in Miami and they had loads of trendy things. But I think it just depends. But yes, guys, please stop trying to fit in because you're going to go in debt and you haven't paid your tuition. So
your student loans haven't been paid.
But yeah, if you have near the money for the real thing, save up for the real thing. So you're walking around without fear that somebody is going to be asking you, what are you wearing? Then they now say, you know, your bag is fake or you're in Paris and they arrest you. You don't want that. You don't. Next thing we're going to speak about is obviously the Telfar. So Telfar was on the come up. Like this guy, I don't know when it started, but he just dropped bags, color, black owned, nicely priced. Everyone went fucking crazy. Hotel for bags. And you know, I've been wanting one for the longest. I can never really pull the trigger till the rainbow drop came and I was like, okay, this is my opportunity. I'm finna get Telfar. Why the fuck not? But some bad belly people out there were like, I hate Telfar. This is. What kind of bags are you guys buying that's accessible to everybody? I'm like, why are you such bad vibes? Shouldn't
luxury. Some people are like, oh yeah, it's not real leather, so it can't be luxury. Like, a lot of these like old heads are like, oh yeah, like if it doesn't tick this box of not being accessible, if it doesn't tick this box of being real leather, if it doesn't tick,
I'm sorry that buying itself doesn't require a credit check. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, like they're like, oh, if it doesn't tick all the boxes of things that used to be luxury before, then it's not luxury now. But let me tell you something, the times are changing. The times are changing.
They are. Like, you don't need. Yeah, you don't need, like, Telfar, as far as I'm concerned, those bags are considered luxury because famous people carry them. Is it not Jackie A that owns, like, 4 Telfars? Like, but Jackie A also owns Birkin, so that's it.
Mix and match.
Mix and match. But yeah, I just didn't really like how people are like, oh, because it's accessible to everybody, like, it's not a luxury brand. And I'm like, y'all need to shut the hell up.
A lot of people that are saying that, they don't even have one luxury. One luxury they don't have.
The people that say that wear Crocs and carry their Michael Kors bag, but go off.
Okay, sorry. I just have to say, I love Crocs and I love Michael Kors. Sorry, when did Michael Kors become, like, why does everybody hate Michael Kors now?
Because of, I think people like, the classic Michael Kors bags, but because they're coming out with loads of more things that like they so like that classic is, you know, that Louis Vuitton bag with like three bags and that pouch, like that messenger one.
Anyways,
Michael Kors copied that design, and you know the Louis Vuitton one, it has that LV monogram thing, and a lot of people, like, I think a lot of people.
I can't lie, I noticed that Michael Kors is doing a lot with their logo.
Yeah.
They're not those girls. They are not those girls. We don't want MKMKMKMKMK everywhere. However, I can't lie, I still love a cheeky Michael Kors. I still love a cheeky Michael. I love Crocs too. So.
And it's not cheeky, Corey. Say cheeky one more time, I beg.
I say cheeky Michael Kors. You guys don't know I'm British. Anyway, I'm British, so this is my as in my sixth year ago.
I think that's another thing. I think I would rather like a bag that didn't have monograms on it. Like, I think they're cool. Like, if that's for you, like if you want to have that Louis Vuitton bag everybody has that says LV Oliver, be my guest. But like, I feel like even with the Coach bags I have now, like they don't say Coach all over them. Like, it's just one tiny thing. Like, I think those are nice. Like, but Anu said, no one wants a bag that says MK, MK, MK.
Unfortunately for MK, they're not those girls. Because a lot of people don't mind a bag that says LV, 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 LV.
Yeah.
MK, not I can't lie. It's not you. It's not you. It's not you.
But I think that's why MK has come under fire recently, because they've been copying designs and it's not like they're bringing them out in plain colors. Like, it's just MK, 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 MK. But yeah, I don't know why you people hate Telfast because of accessibility. You're just bad vibes. If you want to buy, if you want to have a credit check before you buy a bag, be my guest. It's not like you're buying a phone, but pop off. Next thing we have to speak about, fast fashion. I'm not going to mention any brands because I would not like to receive a cease and desist in my mailbox. But fast fashion,
I think.
Talk about
it. Yeah, let me know even, because I was even going to make it easier for you guys, but I think maybe I should not do that.
I think we all know the brand we're talking about. But this brand, the way they copy people's designs, issue. I don't know if it's, well, it's an issue for the small businesses, because I'm not going to lie to you guys. Fast fashion, yeah, bad, whatever. But if a company is doing £1 dresses,
then sign me up.
Fuck off.
You know, my thing with fast fashion, right? My thing with fast fashion is that it's just too fast. It's just too fast. Because as much as people are like, okay, don't shop fast fashion because they rip off of small businesses, that's fine. I'm going to the small business now. What I can buy for £10, they're selling it for £80. And I'm not a baller yet. I'm still a mechanic.
Yeah.
Secondly, they say, "Oh, don't buy fast fashion because it's not sustainable. It's it damages the planet." Blah 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 blah. Cool. They say go and buy secondhand. The secondhand shops are not giving. I'm sorry, they're not giving. And also, a lot of the reason why people say don't buy fast fashion is because people actually like. As in, people wear clothes and throw them away. Like, people wear clothes once and throw them away. I'm not that guy. Like, I'll buy my fast fashion item, but I will wear that item as many times as possible. Then, okay, obviously, there's the exploitation of workers and things like that. And that one, like, I have to put my hands up and say, I don't have a comeback for that. That is really nasty. And a lot of those companies can afford to pay those people properly. They don't have to be doing what they're doing. But I just think it's difficult to get people off fast fashion if you're not offering an alternative that is as affordable and as trendy. Because on one hand, you say, oh, I don't really, you shouldn't care about, you know, fashion is not even that important, just wear whatever. But then on the other hand, you now have social media pressuring people to look a certain way. And they need to be able to afford to look that certain way. Something has to give,
yeah. And I mean, like Anu said, like, I think a big thing about fast fashion is like the workers and how they're being paid unfairly, which I completely agree with. But like, I think fast fashion is just too quick. Like, if I want a top that I saw somebody wearing, I give it 2 days. Some fast fashion site has come out with it and it's like, it's only £2. And another thing I will say, just me personally, like when I shop on fast fashion sites, I'm most likely buying like dresses and tops for going out. Like, anything, jeans, shoes, like, you invest in the brand, like, you invest in a nice pair of, like, Levi's or a nice pair of Nikes, a nice pair of Converse, you know?
Jeans.
Yeah.
Do you guys, I learned this yesterday, you guys. I'm taking a sustainability module at uni, and I learned that it takes 7,500 liters of water to make one jeans. So, one jeans, invest in one good pair of jeans and just wear that jeans because,
yeah,
7,500 liters of water for one jeans.
But yeah, like I said, like, I'm only probably going to buy like a top, a dress. If I'm going to Lagos in December and I need a closet, I'm going to do fast. I'm so sorry, because the money I've spent on that fast fashion site, if I go to the small business, that money is going to buy me one shirt and one trouser. But on the fast fashion site, I bought 20 dresses, 3 tops, one bra, one pants. Like, guys, come on. But yeah, I think the biggest part is them ripping off small businesses. And I don't know, like, yes, I do understand as a small business, you are made ethically and all of that. But like, you guys have to remember the market you're catering to. Like, you're catering to young people, and you know this dress is going to be a popular style. So why is this dress $300?
Mm.
You know? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, if your whole brand is at young people, why are your prices for people that make adult money?
But ask them again, because I don't think they heard you the first time.
I'm not saying it's your business, do whatever you want. Like, obviously, like, if that's what you're worth, fine. But like, you can't, I'm not saying you can't be angry, but if a fast fashion brand is bringing out a dress you brought out at a quarter of the price, I'm so sorry, your market has been stolen, because there's nothing holding you to them. And in some cases, you do see small businesses like take down whatever that they have, you know, stolen gear wise. And what these fast fashion brands do is like, they look at your website, see all your colorways, and then make a colorway that you don't have.
Some of these fast fashion brands are taking the piss, because there was an issue, a popular black owned business and a popular fast fashion site, and they actually reached a settlement, because that fast fashion brand actually took the piss. The way they copied her whole print.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Like, I don't know. Sometimes fast fashion brands, they have too much audacity. Because what were they actually expecting to happen? Like,
also, like, let's talk about how...
Well, sorry, I was going to say, before you say it, another thing is, though, with fast fashion, I also think, like, they should start forming their own ideas, because there's absolutely no reason why you need to be stealing ideas.
Yeah, why are we hiring creative directors if we're just the creative directors?
Like, the ideas are not... Anyway, say what you wanted to say, I beg.
But yeah, I think a way that small businesses can protect themselves is essentially, like Anu just mentioned, like patenting your colorway, because that's the only way you're going to get them to either take it off the site or take it off something. Because if you just have a generic style of a black bodycon dress and it's black, I'm so sorry, you have nothing against, because it's black. Like, you don't own the color black. You can't patent anything in that situation. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm not a lawyer. Maybe you should have a lawyer. But like, I don't know. But yeah, last thing we want to talk about is small businesses. And we've kind of already touched on that. You know, when everything happened and BLM happened, there was a very big, you know, support for supporting small businesses. And, you know, I'm here for it. Like, you know, supporting the small man, you know, fuck you to the big man. Like, I'm very here for it. But some of these small businesses will drive you fucking insane. Like, price, maybe. It's just the level of service that you get.
Let's talk about it. Let's actually get into it, because no.
I'm not even talking clothes. I'm talking hair, jewelry, shoes, everything.
I have a brand in mind. In fact, this brand has been mentioned on this episode today. And this is you guys' favorite brand. But their owner is rude. Their owner is super rude. But you guys are still buying things from them. That's okay. That's fine. But I just feel like, as a small business, like, you need to be begging people to buy your
clothes. That's what I'm saying. As a small business competing against fast fashion, you need to show me why I should leave fast fashion and come to you. Like, okay, you know, I have the money to afford it. But if your customer service is shit, why am I going to buy from you? I'd rather speak to a bot on a fast fashion website because I know I'll at least get a response. But like some of these brands, and while we're on it, I want to shout out to those hairdressers in the US and their policies, because you guys, one day we'll speak about the rules and regulations. How can you be going to a hairdresser and you're paying $300 for bum length braids? You've brought your own attachments.
They now say brought pre-stretched attachments.
Pre-stretched, though. You've come, they said, come with your hair washed and blow dried. If you're 5 minutes late, I charge you a 10 minute fee. And for every other second you're late, it's $5 per second. You can't eat, you can't bring anybody. There was one I saw that said, if you're bringing food, you have to bring enough for me. I was like, are you mad? Like, I think y'all sometimes, like, I do know, there is a gap. Like, I'm not going to lie, like, being in America, like, there's no Ebano or, you know, apples and oranges where I can go do my hair. Like, it's a limited market, and I'm kind of limited to what I can do. But, like, if I'm bringing my own attachments, and I was already going to wash and dry my hair anyways, like, why are your fees through the ceiling? And some girl broke it down. She was like, because there was a girl charging like 500 for bum length braids. And she was like, it'll take 6 hours.
Back to her sender. Back to sender.
Six, I'm going to do a quick calculation for you guys. If she said it took her 6 hours. And you know, my biggest pet peeves about getting my braids done in America is that my braids still won't be full. Like,
they won't be full. They won't last long. You'll be able to tell that it won't.
Because, like,
I'm not even supposed to be talking
about nothing. There's nothing like a Nigerian stylist, because they can braid without gel. Well, some people.
Oh, the gel.
Why, after doing my braids,
packing on the gel? But why is your hair wet? Why? So, you know, some people will blow dry your hair when they finish. Based on, they know how much gel they put.
Okay, so that girl that was charging $500 for 6 hours for braids, we're paying her $83 an hour, which is gaps and leaps above minimum wage. And the service I'm paying for is still not the service I want. You know, like, it's just taking the piss at some point, because I brought all these attachments. Let's say I brought 6 packs of attachments. Why are my braids finished and you've only used 3? You know, like, my hair is in full.
There's a reason why I brought 6.
There's a reason why I brought 6. Or you agree with them on the size of the thing you want, and then their pictures are deceiving, so they do one braid and you're like, actually, I wanted it tinier. They're like, that's going to be 100 extra. Are you mad?
Are you...
And you know, value your service, like, whatever. I price my hair. I'm Nigerian. I price my hair before I go and do it. But like, and you know, I've had to buy the bullets because I just do my hair at the African salons rather than going to all these, you know,
the Instagram girlies.
Yes, the Instagram girlies. Because there's nothing like an African auntie, my guy. I'm not going to lie to you, for braids, because people be doing Ghana weaving. They have 6 Ghana weaves in their hair. They paid $150, huh? If you go to Auntie Julia in Surulere, $1,000. Yeah, she's washed, she's blow dried your hair, she's put mousse, she's trimmed it, she's done everything. Guys, I'm just stressed. That's why I learned how to do my own nails, because in these places, you pay for regular polish. They're like, if you want gel top coats, it's an extra $20. Huh? Top coats? Guys, we're living in a very scary time. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the episode on luxury businesses, small businesses, and fast fashion.
You guys should let us know what you think, because it's quite a controversial topic. And like,
yeah.
I want to say, it might sound like we're for fast fashion. And I would say we're very much against the exploitation of workers. We're very much against unsustainable practices. We're very much against ripping off small businesses. But as two young women who want to look good, we're just saying it's quite hard to not participate in that industry. So let's actually start a conversation. Let's know what you guys think. If there's brands that Chira and I, we don't know that they are cheap and sustainable and they are not exploiting our workers, let us know. We'll shop there.
We'll shop. Money's not a problem.
Okay, my finger to my liar. Anyway, guys, so that was the episode. Quite an interesting topic, I think. So, yeah, join the convo. And, yeah, that's the end of the episode. Make sure you follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Care Package Pod and on TikTok at Care Package, at the Care Package Pod. So you know when our next deliveries are. And yeah, enjoy.
Yeah.
Till next time. Bye. Bye.
This package has been signed, sealed, and delivered. Thank you.